Morning, everyone. Good morning. Are you guys excited this morning? Our Savior is risen, and we are all here to celebrate our Savior. Correct? Celebrate. So you can tell your neighbor that I'm here to celebrate my Savior. How are you going to celebrate? Tell me, how are you going to celebrate? Okay, so maybe we can find out different ways to celebrate our Savior. Okay, so this morning, I believe God's presence is here, and you know, that song which we sang, the last song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. You know, what an assurance which it gives us when we sing that song, because it's not a song, it's a proclamation which we make in our spirit, which God has given us that, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. So tell your neighbor, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Okay? So we'll just pray and ask God so that meaningfully we can celebrate this morning. Lord, we want to thank you. Lord, we pray. Open our eyes, open our hearts so that we can see you and we can hear from you, Lord. Lord, we keep all our work, our baggages, Lord, our hurts, our questions, everything aside, and come to your presence, Lord, to hear. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. And when we go out from here, Lord, we would be a different personality altogether, filled with your spirit, filled with that joy. It can only happen through you. And we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's read Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 5, I'll read it for us. In the fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again." May our joy abound this morning, no matter how we come this morning here. This we know, that death has been defeated. Death has been defeated, and he is risen. Paul says this, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." If Christ has not been risen, he says, our preaching is useless, so as your faith. If Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 and 17. It says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been risen or raised, then you are still in your sins. So, you know the importance of this day, the resurrection day, where God raised from the dead. So let's read the event. It's always good to know and read basically what happened on that day, 2,000 years back, when things have, you know, this record has been written by four different gospel writers. They talk about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the gospel writers, John, will read from there, John 20, verse from 1. Okay, I'll request one of us to just read this. If you have your Bible, can you just read this from John 20 from verse 1.
John 20. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon, Peter, and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, but both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thank you. So this event goes like this. You know, morning, early morning. It was Friday. Initially, it was Friday when Jesus, we take that as Friday, it's for our understanding. And Jesus died and he was buried. And the next day was a Sabbath day. Sabbath day is called as a day of rest. So no one does any work on that day. So everyone waited for the Sabbath day to get over. And early next morning, that is the Sunday, Saturday they took rest, for example, and Sunday morning they go to the tomb. When they go to the tomb, they see the tomb is empty. There is no one there. And the woman who went there, they told to the disciples. And the disciples ran to see, is that true, what they are saying? And they also saw there was nothing inside. But as humans, we need reasoning, we need answer. So they wanted to know basically whether Jesus really came out from the tomb or not. And then Jesus appears again back to Mary the Magdalene and says, you know, "See, this is Jesus." She is not able to recognize Jesus. And Jesus said, "This is me." And she recognizes Jesus finally. And Jesus says, "Now you go and tell the other disciples." And then Jesus appears to his disciples, the disciples who are the followers of Jesus. And they all were in a room locked in fear. Why fear? Because everyone was searching for them so that they were also be hanged and put to death. So they were all fearful and they were all, you know, locked in a room. They all were there. Jesus appeared to them, to the 11 disciples that side. So when Jesus was there in that room, everyone saw, but one disciple was missing in that room. Everyone saw and they all believed in Jesus, believed that he was risen. And then there was another disciple whose name was Thomas, who was not present when Jesus appeared. Everyone told him, do you know that Jesus was risen? Jesus risen. Jesus rose. We saw Jesus. He said, I'm not going to believe any of you unless and until I see it by myself. Not only see it, I want to touch his hand where the nails were pierced. Then only I will believe. So Jesus one day again, after a week, again, when all the disciples were again in their room, locked in fear, Jesus again appears to them. And he calls Thomas. He said, Thomas, come. You want to see and you want to believe. And he shows his hand and says, Thomas, you touch and see. This is Jesus. And Thomas breaks down. He says, Rabbi, I believe in you. But Jesus says to Thomas that, blessed are the one who believe in me who have not yet seen me. But they believe in me. So Jesus gave a big question or an answer to us this morning, that blessed are the one who believes in me even though they have not seen me. Now, what happened? These disciples were the disciples, basically, who were very fearful of their life. These disciples were the disciples who locked their door. These disciples were the disciples who ran away when they caught Jesus. But everything changed. I'll come back to that. Everything changed, after the resurrection. Every Easter Sunday or the resurrection day, one prominent thing comes up to all of our minds is, it's amazing to think about the fact that Jesus never wrote a book. In fact, he never wrote anything down. Yet there are more books written about Jesus than any other subject in the world. Even now, even today, the bestseller book is the Bible across the globe. Even though Jesus never wrote any writings, Jesus never composed a song, but there is more music written about Jesus Christ than any other subject, in any of the industry. You can search, you can find out that facts. There is no one. But Jesus never composed a song. Jesus never drew any pictures or did any sculpture. But more than has been made about Jesus Christ than any other subject in history. Jesus never traveled more than 100 miles from where he was born. But you can find his followers of Jesus in every nook and corner of this globe. So what happened? That should be something important. You see structures, you see magnificent churches, you see something which has been amazed and best-selling over the years again and again, music being composed, books have been written, and you see art has been driven from there. But Jesus never did all that. But there's something which changed that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought that change. It changed actually history. It inspired music. It inspired art. It inspired writing. It inspired the way we build things up. And that was inspired by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No other event, when you can search online, no other event has impacted such a vast and wide across globe than the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And history talks about it. The resurrection challenged many of them. And even this morning, it challenges us as well. And we see that it has not come just like that because people just believed it. They just tried out or just because someone told them to believe. No, it has been inspired by this great personality called Jesus, who died on the cross and who was resurrected. So this morning, we can be part of this great story which changes history, or which has changed history, and we can again be part of this. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, assures eternal life. So what changed them, or what changed the people's thinking across globe and history is, because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, something came up that is called as eternal life. In John 11 verse 25 to 26, it's written, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it assures eternal life. That whoever believes in him will live and they will not die. They are going to live forever. And that's a promise of resurrection or assurance of resurrection. So that's the reason when we attend a Christian funeral, you know, yes, there is sadness, there is brokenness, there is pain, there is a vacuum, but also there is rejoicing. Because we know that it is not the end. The grave is not the end. The empty tomb is a new beginning. We believe that we are going to meet that person again. And the Bible talks about very clearly that we will meet them again. So it's an assurance that those who all believe in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it assures us eternal life. It says that you are not going to die, we are going to live forever, even though we die. Tell your neighbor that I will live even though I die. Be confident. Even though I die. So this morning, that assurance needs to be taken into our heart. And then this kind of changes we will see in history, or we can change in our life. That even if I die, I'm going to live forever. So the resurrection assured the disciples eternal life, assured the globe eternal life. And then men and women were ready even to give their life, because they knew life is not going to end when I die, but it's going to begin even after I die. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ assures victory. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 to 7, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He was risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." An empty tomb promises us victory. Even this morning, as we are sitting here, the resurrection, as we celebrate, it promises each one of us here victory. Victory over death. That we can have victory over everything in life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 to 57, it's written, "When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the immortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It says that the victory we also have. It gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over death. So what is death? Death can be anything where, you know, there is no life. Death can be someone who is lying on the deathbed and is going to die. But Jesus promises victory even there. Death is something where, you know, we know that, you know, the doctor said someone is suffering from cancer. You know, this person is going to die in 1 month. Jesus promises that you can have victory over death. Even at that point, the person can be healed. So, and it says the victory of death, Jesus gives us as well through Lord Jesus Christ. It has given to us as well through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection, when we all are here, we should know that we also have that victory, or we can claim that victory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection assures that we are not dead. We are alive in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 to 22, it says, through one man's fall, all became sinners. The same way, because of Christ, we become alive. We are not subject to sin anymore. We live in Christ. You know, the concept of, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, on the Garden of Eden, that where they eat something and the entire humankind or mankind has been cursed or sinned. You know, it doesn't kind of like, you know, as humans our mind can't understand that. The same way, because of one man, everyone fell down or they have sinned. Through one man, through Jesus Christ, we can all be alive. We are not subject to sin anymore, but we live in Christ. So this morning, the resurrection, as we celebrate, it assures you that you are alive. We are not dead. We are alive in Christ. We are no more, you know, sin is not anymore master over us. But we are alive in Christ. We can tell to your neighbor in confidence that I am alive in Christ. The resurrection this morning assures us forgiveness and redemption as well. He told them in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, he told them that this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of the sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So the resurrection offers us a new hope. It offers us forgiveness. It offers us redemption. How badly we may have fallen. How messed up our lives would be. It says that it offers forgiveness and repentance and redemption. So this morning, because Christ been resurrected, it assures us forgiveness and redemption. Any type, any kind, whatever way we have lived our life, we have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed by the Lamb of God. Someone else has taken our place, and we receive forgiveness and redemption through the resurrection. Resurrection also assures us new beginnings. You know, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. When the disciples all were fearful of, you know, they betrayed Jesus, they ran, they deserted Jesus. But when Jesus met them, there was new beginning for them. It can resurrect our dreams which are died or it's dead. And he can make it new. How many of us have left their dreams because you felt that it's died? Or we think that it's going to die. But resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning offers us new beginnings. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, new beginning. The old has gone and the new is here. So this morning, You can tell your neighbor that the old has gone and point to yourself and say, the new is here. So this is a promise from God. That's the reason I'm asking us to proclaim it through us, through our words. It brings new beginnings. It forgives. It redeems. It gives us eternal life. It makes us alive. It gives us life. And also, the resurrection assures that we have someone else with us. God the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, it says, you know, this is the writing of Paul. After all the crucifixion and the gospels have been written, Paul, Apostle Paul, there's a writer who points out to the gospel and he quotes it. Few of the things from there. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Paul is pointing out to the gospels, which he may have access during that time. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one of the occasions, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift by the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of Holy Spirit has been assured to us when we believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father that he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So this morning, if we need help, if we need an advocate, we need someone who can guide us, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ offers us the Holy Spirit. And it was promised and it was given to us. If we believe in it, we can have this wonderful companion with us, that is the Holy Spirit. So the resurrection, as we all come to celebrate this Savior, the resurrection assures us. It is not a promise that if you believe, then it will happen. It is an assurance. Assurance that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Assurance that there are new beginnings. Assurance that there is forgiveness and redemption. Assurance that you are alive. You will be alive in Christ. There is an assurance that you will see victory. There is an assurance that we all have eternal life. It's all assurance which we will all have if we believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But to believe in all this assurance, there are a lot of obstacles as well. The resurrection obstacles are hearing but not listening. So you heard the assurance this morning, but if we hear but not listen, there can be an obstacle where we may not experience the assurance which is given to us through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus spoke about his death even before he died. In Matthew 16:21, he said that he is going to die and he is going to raise after 3 days. In Mark 8:31 also, he told them that he will be killed and after 3 days, he will rise again. But what happened? The disciples ran away when they took Jesus and they crucified him. They ran away, but Jesus already spoke to them that he has to die. He will be killed. And now they see everything happening. It has already been spoken to them. It's already been told to them that be aware, this is going to happen. Be alert, this is going to happen. But they all ran away. They heard it, but they did not listen to what he was saying. They did not apply to what they have heard. If we want to experience all that assurance which we see, we need not only to hear, but we need to listen and apply it in our lives. This is only two references, but Jesus spoke many times that he is going to die and he will be resurrected. And many times they did not understand, but Jesus explained them. But they only heard, they did not listen. So the obstacles can be, this morning we all sitting here, is we can be only hearer, but listener, where we would listen to it and apply to it. There can be an obstacle where we are preparing ourselves to meet the dead, then the one who is alive. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says, when the Sabbath was over, that is the third day, that is Sunday, today, let's take that day, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' dead body. So they already prepared themselves that they are going to meet the dead, not someone who has promised resurrection. So they are searching for a dead body. They prepare themselves that they are going to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ. So they prepare to meet the dead, not the one who is alive. Many times we prepare ourselves to meet the dead. Even when we come to church or we are coming to church, we may have already decided our fate, our future, our lives, our children's future. We may have already decided, even though we sit here and want to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, we may have already decided that this would be the future, this would be my marriage, this would be the way it would be, this is how I will be, this is how my children will be. We have already decided our fate. So we are going to meet the dead, not the one who promised alive and new beginnings. And even though it was spoken to them many times that he will be risen, but they wanted to prepare themselves for the dead. They had all the love and affection for our Lord Jesus Christ, but they were planning to meet the dead, not someone who is going to raise himself from the tomb. So we can be in that place this morning, already decided death or dead ends in our life, dead ends in our family, dead ends in our church, dead end in our, where we have described ourselves, and we see our future and we have taken it that it will be like that. That can be a big obstacle for us this morning as we are going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another obstacle is locking ourselves. Lot of promises we saw. Redemption, forgiveness, we saw that we are alive, we are, you know, the promise of new beginning, that there is a promise of Holy Spirit, there's a promise of eternal life, but we lock ourselves. You know, in John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20 says, on the beginning of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You know, because of fear, we may lock ourselves. It can be any fear. But the resurrection brings victory. It does not bring fear. It does not ask us to lock ourselves. You know, there are many people, or we have come across ourselves as well, where things don't work out, we lock ourselves. We isolate ourselves. We isolate ourselves from God. We isolate ourselves from the people of God. We isolate ourselves from hearing from God. And we lock ourselves. But the resurrection assurance does not talk about locking. Why they locked themselves? Because they were fearful of. If you ask me what is your fear, I would tell you, you may have already known your fear right away. And if we want to battle that fear, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us that assurance this morning. You already know your fear. The power of resurrection gives us that access and assurance to unlock ourselves and come out of this fear. There's another obstacle. Seeing is believing. Now there was one of his 12 disciples. He was there. So Jesus met all the other disciples. This guy may have gone out for food or whatever it is. And he comes back again in that room. Everyone says, "We saw Jesus, we saw Jesus." He says, "Don't tell me this crap. I'm not going to believe." We live in 21st century where we don't believe in the existence of God. It is all, you know, he talked about it, but it's not true. That's our state this morning. He says, "I will only believe if I will see him. Not only see him, I want to also touch him." But the resurrection challenges us. Seeing is not believing. It says the other side, believing is seeing. You believe and you will see. And even though he asked for a sign, Jesus gave a sign to him. He came again to him and he showed himself to him. And he said, "Touch now. You want to see? You want to believe? You want to see? Touch." But Jesus said this in verse 20-29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet have believed." So if we are here this morning and we believe seeing is believing. You know, there are many things we ask God, "Lord, why are these things happening in my life? I don't see any of your goodness. Even though I'm trying to make things, it's breaking down. Even though I'm trying to build things, it's coming down. Even I'm trying my best, but every time I try the best, I've been broken." And we ask this question, "I want to believe you only if you show me something." But Jesus says, "I will show you or I will not show you, but you need to still believe in me." Blessed are the one, he says. Means more blessed than the person who has seen and believed. But he says, "Blessed are the one who has not seen me and believed." So this morning, the resurrection, as we come and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, if this is an obstacle for us, we may miss the assurance which Jesus has given us through the power of resurrection to us. So what happened? Now, this is the situation of the disciples and people and us. But how everything changed? These disciples locked themselves. They were fearful. They were running. They didn't want to face anyone. They had doubts. They already wanted to meet the dead. But what happened that the gospel came across the globe and it's been celebrated across. It's been acknowledged across. So what happened that it brought so much of change? It is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which changed everything. The disciples who were fearful of their life, that they will die, and they locked themselves. They had doubts. They had fears. They were going to meet the dead. But what happened? Everything changed. And we see it in history, how the disciples moved. What happened between that time and till now was the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when they saw Jesus resurrected and they believed in the resurrection, everything changed for them. They unlocked the door and the gospel was spread across the globe. And this 11 who was there in that room, who locked themselves, who was fearful of, has spread the gospel through to the entire nation and entire globe. And it was not easy for them. What changed them is the assurance of the resurrection, that there is victory over death. There is eternal life. There is no fear. You know, Andrew was crucified. One of the disciples who was there in that room, who was fearful of, he gave his life. He was crucified on a X-shaped cross in Greece. Simon was crucified in Persia. James, he was beheaded in Palestine. Thomas, stabbed with a spear in India. Peter was crucified upside down by Nero. There are Philip, there is Matthias, there is John, there is Jude, there is Matthew. They all died giving the gospel. You know, James, he was thrown off the wall and clubbed to death. Matthew, impaled by the spears in Ethiopia. Jude was crucified. And John, you know, the writer John, we know, he died in an exile in an island of Patmos. Matthias was stoned to death. So what can change someone who is so fearful of? Someone ran away when they caught Jesus. Someone who doesn't want to say that they belong to Jesus. But what changed between the crucifixion, after the crucifixion, and the resurrection? They saw Jesus Christ and they believed that he was resurrected. And they believed that there is life even after death. And they knew that it is not going to end here. There's an eternal life. There is victory. There is new beginning which has been promised and assured through our Lord Jesus Christ. So everything changed. The history changed. You know, music, art, infrastructure, everything came up after this men went because they believed in the resurrection. So the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has the greatest power to change the entire globe. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ also comes with a great commission. You know, when Jesus rose again and he showed his disciples, but he also told his disciples, he said, the great commission, he said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, the very end of the age. So the resurrection also comes for us with a command that we need to follow the Great Commission. Now, how the resurrection changed the lives of the disciples? They saw the resurrected God and they believed in what he said. The same way, this morning, as we celebrate the Savior, this day, in remembrance, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it should change my life. It should change my life. Is there any obstacles in my life which challenges the resurrection? Why am I not able to believe and believe in the assurance of the resurrection which Jesus gave? No, don't be disheartened. Even the disciples had the same problem. But when they believed, they saw this change. It says, go and make disciples. The disciples went to the ends of the earth. We saw people, all the disciples scattered to different locations, different places. One is in Ethiopia, one is in Palestine, one is in Persia, one is in Greece, one is in India. Go! They went. Someone who locked their door. And Jesus said, why you are not believing in me? And these people went. And they shared the gospel to many of them. Shared the love of God to many of them. And they made disciples, the followers of Christ. They taught them, they baptized them, and they gave an assurance which Jesus gave, which said, I will be with you always, the very end of the age. And this morning, that's a promise, or that's a call even which we have as we celebrate the resurrection. You know, go. Make disciples. Break down that obstacles, but believe in the assurance. Teach them. Baptize them. There are many people who are hopeless. There are many people who don't have an answer. There are many of them, they're still in their loneliness. The resurrection power can change everything. And this morning, that's the word of God to us. It comes with a great commission. As we celebrate this morning, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be assured in the promise of resurrection, what Christ promised us. We should be away from the obstacles. The enemy will try to bring that up. But we should refrain ourselves and build our faith so that we can overcome that obstacle. And we should never forget the Great Commission which Jesus gave. If the disciples may have just believed and seen Jesus and hand and all that, and Jesus ascended, nothing may have happened. We may have not received the gospel today. Because they went, because they took the Great Commission of their own, and today the gospel, different languages, different literature, you know, thousands of literature been produced. You know, the Bible is translated in n number of languages. Why? Because they moved. And this morning, you know, let's celebrate Jesus with that assurance. Let's celebrate Jesus with this Great Commission. You know, we all have to go. We all have to move. We all have to meet people. We all have to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Renew Hope Community, and that is our church, you know, promises, or is a church which moves. You know, it's radical. It makes disciples. It dreams that it's not only exist in Panvel, but it exists in other cities, other states, and other nations. Renewed Hope Community prepares whoever comes inside this family, prepares them for baptism. Renewed Hope Community teaches everyone, everywhere, everywhere. It may be in our cell group, it may be a men's meet, it may be a women's meet, it may be a Sunday school, our children, it may be a youth. It teaches. everyone. And it believes the promise of Great Commission, where Jesus said, I will be there with you till the end of age. Renewed Hope Community believes that his hand, his presence, his anointing dwells among us, in us, through this church and through us. With that note, the tomb is empty. Believe in that assurance of our resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take a minute, then we'll break bread together and we'll celebrate the crucifixion and our resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we